We're holding Ches and Aleph, five lines from the top by the two dots. We're up to the next part of the Mishnah now. So we went through Be'echad B'Nissan. We went through Echad Be'elul being Rosh Hashanah, L'maisa Behema, and discussed which Tana is that according to, and why we're not listing other Rosh Hashanim. Now we're up to the Mishnah had said, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Be'echad B'Tishrei, that they say that the Rosh Hashanah for Ma'isa Behema, meaning again the cutoff point when we say that animals born before it and animals born after it don't combine together for Ma'isa Behema, they say that it's on the first of Tishrei. Which, by the way, the Rambam, paskins like them for a number of reasons. No sekelim on the Rambam. Talk about one of them being, even though we have our Stam Mishnah over here that says, which we said yesterday is the opinion of Reb Meir, that it's Be'echad Be'elul. On the other hand, we have a Stam Mishnah in Bechoris that implies that it is Echad B'Tishrei, and the idea would be, therefore, that Rambam figured that that one is more binding since it's in the Masechta that talks about that topic, whereas here in our Masechta, it's only incidental. Anyway, so the Gemara says, so we have Reb Meir saying it's the first of Elul, and we have Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon saying it's the first of Tishrei. Amar Reb Yechonon, Shnei Mikra Echad Doshu. They're both learning it from the same pasuk. A pasuk in Tillim that goes, "Lov shu chorim hatzoin." The sheep have been clothed with chorim. We'll talk about in a second what that means. Ba'amokim yatuvar, and the valleys are wrapped up or enclosed with grain. Yisroya'u af yashiru. They shout and they also sing. So Reb Meir Sava. So Reb Meir figures like this. The pasuk is describing. Now we know that there are with animals there are only certain times of the year when they mate. Unlike people who do any time, who have relations any time, animals have certain seasons when they mate. So when is that? Going to be for sheep? So Reb Meir Sava. Emosai love shuchorim hatzorin. At what point do the sheep become clothed with korim? So Rashi explains that korim means that they become fatter. They start putting on weight, namely when they become pregnant and they start gaining weight because of the pregnancy. Tosfos explains that rather korim can mean the male sheep. So love shu korim atzai means that the females are clothed by the males, which is a nice way of saying that they mate. Rabbi Hananel says yet another possibility, that it means that the sheep become a lavush, the mothers become a garment for the unborn babies inside them. Anyway, when does that take place? Reb Meir says, Bizman sha'amokim yatuvar. The pasuk is implying that that takes place at the same time when the valleys are covered up with bur, with grain. Which means, you have the grain is planted several months before that. Grain is planted in Cheshvan time, about. But when does it first become noticeable? When does it first become recognizable as grain is Adar time? So therefore, so that's what the pasuk is describing as that the valleys are clothed with grain. And the pasuk continues. So the mayor says, Misabris ba'adar the yodus ba'av. So therefore, so the sheep become pregnant in Adar. Sheep and goats, the pregnancy is 5 months long. So therefore, they give birth in Av 5 months later. Therefore, Rosh Hashanah Shalahan Elul. Therefore, logically, we would say that the Rosh Hashanah for them is Elul because you have the first Rosh Chodesh after when most of the sheep are born. Which, by the way, a couple of Achronim point out, I mean, that works as far as sheep and goats. What about as far as cattle? You have to take Ma'isa Behema from cattle as well, and they have 9 months pregnancies just like people. If they become pregnant at their time, then they're not giving birth until Kislev time. Okay, so there's a couple of different approaches to that, but the bottom line is most of them say that we go according to the majority. The majority of newborn animals are sheep and goats. The pastures because more people own sheep and goats because they're cheaper. So therefore we go according to them even as far as the cattle, even though it's true the cattle are only born several months later. So that's Reb Meir's opinion. Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon. I mean, Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon focus on the start the same way. Emes said, "Love shu chorim atzoin." At what point are the sheep becoming pregnant? At the time when they move together and they sing. So they say, Amos has Shibolim, Omer, Shir, and now the Gemara is going to explain in a second. Each one of them then has a one third of the pasuk that they're ignoring for their Jerusha. What are they doing with that? We'll get back to that in a second. The point is, though, they say, Amos has Shibolim, Omer, Shira. At what point are these stalks of grain saying Shira? Meaning that they're grown enough that now when the wind blows, they rustle one against the other and it sounds like a song of singing. So when does that take place? The Nisan, that takes place in Nisan, because in Adar, you can already recognize that this is a field of grain, but only in Nisan do you really start, are the stalks really big enough and have enough straw on them that when they rustle and bang one against the other, you hear a noise, which is they're singing, that takes place in Nisan. So therefore, Mr. Abris for Nisan, the Yodas for Elul. Therefore, the Balazar and Shimon say, the sheep mostly become pregnant in Nisan. Not an Adar. So therefore, they give birth 5 months later, which is Elul. Therefore, Rosh Hashanah Shalan Tishrei. Therefore, the Rosh Hashanah for them is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, the first Rosh Chodesh after the month in which most of them are born. Okay. So then you want to ask the Idach Nami, what about Reb Meir, Hoksib Yisroya Uaf Yeshiru? What is he doing with the one third of the pasuk Yisroya Uaf Yeshiru, which is talking about, as we said, the grain making noise when it rustles, which takes place in Nisan? The answer is Ahuba Flossa Dehabyan Menisan. So he would say, okay, so there are some sheep that mate later than the other ones, like you have by Yaakov and Lavan, you have over there, you have the older ones, Yaakov wouldn't put out his sticks with their markings over there, and they would end up having plain white babies, and those would go to Lavan. Whereas Akshurim, the younger, stronger ones, he would put out the sticks, and they would, and then the babies of them would go to him because they'd be born with the appropriate markings. So we see that's how it is with sheep. You have some of them that are quick to mate, and then you have others that are slower and weaker. So fine, the mayor says you have some slower ones that first mate in Nisan, which is, as we're saying, when the stalks of grain are rustling and making noise. So fine, for them they get born during Elul, but most of them get born during Av. So the Idach Nami Yachsiv Vamakim Yachsavor, what about Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon, the other way around? What are they doing with the one third of the pasuk that says Vamakim Yachsavor, which we said means when the valleys are cloaked with grain, when, in other words, when the stalks of grain are already noticeable and recognizable as grain, which takes place during Adar? So they would say the other way around. You have some extra early ones who start mating in Adar. But for the most part, Rebbe Lozer and Shimon said most of them mate in Nisan. Okay, so each one of them has a way of saying that the pasuk is implying that most of the animals are born during their month of Elul respectively, and therefore Rosh Hashanah L'maisa Behema is the following Rosh Chodesh Elul or Rosh Chodesh Tishrei respectively. Okay, so the Gemara asks, B'shlema L'Rav Meir. According to the mayor, we understand the flow of the pasuk very well. Then the pasuk flows the way it's written. Love shucharim atzorim, the sheep become pregnant. Bizman sha'amokim yakvavor, this takes place at the same time when the valleys are cloaked with grain. The ikanami yisroyo af yeshiru, there are some of them who take their time and they only mate when yisroyo af yeshiru, when the grain is rustling and making noise. So therefore, the flow of the pasuk is like that. Most of them are in Adar, and a few of them are in Nisan. The ikanami yisroyo af yeshiru, so you have some of them then also. Ela l'Rav Elazar v'Rav Shimon, ifchemi b'alei. According to Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon, the flow of the pasuk should be the other way around. It should say, since they say, Lov shucharim atzorim, the sheep become pregnant, bizman she yisroyo af yeshiru, at the time, most of them, they said, they're saying become pregnant at the time when the stalks of grain are rustling and making and singing to Hashem. So that should be, the pasuk should continue with that. Lov shucharim atzorim, yisroyo af yeshiru, v'ikonami da'am mokim yachuvor. Then there are seven of them that are quick on the draw, and they mate while during the time when the valleys are cloaked with grain, meaning before it's large enough to rustle, but when it's noticeable that it's grain. So according to them, why is Amokim Yakovar second in the pasuk when according to them it should be last? Because that's not the main time when Rav Shukar Matzon. So given that, Ela Amar Rava. So Rava says, you're right. We're not going to say that they learn from that. We can say that Rabbi Meir learns his Svara from this pasuk. We can't say that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon learn from this pasuk. Because you're right, then it would be out of order. So rather, Rava says, the Kula Amar Lav Shukara Matzoyin, this man shamok and yatzabor, which is Adar. So everybody agrees that they mate during Adar, which is the time when the valleys are cloaked with grain, with stalks of grain. Rather, the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon is on the following pasuk. The pasuk says aser to aser. You should take meiser. In context, the pasuk is talking about your meiser of your produce. But the fact that it says the double expression, aser to aser, we understand that b'shnei meiser sakosim medaber. The pasuk is talking about two kinds of meiser, echad meiser behemer ve'echad meiser dogon. Besides for meiser from your crops, which is what the pasuk is talking about over there, it's also talking about meiser behemer. And really, the dinim that it says in the pasuk over there apply to both. It continues that you should eat it lifnei Hashem alekecha, meaning in Yerushalayim. And that applies to both of them. Meiser behemer is brought as a korban, and meiser sheni, we're talking about over here, you bring it to your shalayim and you eat it, or you exchange it for money, and you bring that money to your shalayim and buy food. So therefore, so the pasuk is talking about both meiser behemer and meiser dogon. So that means that there's a hekesh between them. Reb Meir sofa makish meiser behemer and meiser dogon. So Reb Meir says then that the hekesh is between meiser behemer and meiser dogon as follows. Ma meiser dogon samuch legomrei isurei. When is the time for taking meiser from grain? Close to the time, as soon as possible after it's finished. We said in our Mishnah that Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for several different purposes. One of them we're going to talk about later is it's Rosh Hashanah for Meiser. We didn't mention it in the Mishnah. We did in a certain sense. We said when the tea of a light, we said Velayirakas, but that's as far as when vegetables are picked. But whatever, we're going to talk about further on in our perek. We're going to get into great detail about the dinim of Meiser, and including the time when the chiyuv of Meiser kicks in for various kinds of produce. So again, what it is we talked about yesterday the idea that you harvest your grain in Nisan or Iyar or Sivan, and then you leave it out drying in the fields all summer long, because, you know, it's a soil that doesn't rain during the summer. And then Tishrei time, you bring them in. So Tishrei time is when you, so right around there is when Rosh Hashanah L'Maisrus is. That's why we're saying that Rosh Hashanah, that Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'Maisrus. So as soon as possible after it's completed is the time for taking Maisir. Ah, Maisir Behema. So the same way, Reb Meir says the same thing, has to do with Maisir Behema. Samuch L'Gomrei Isurei. As soon as possible after it's completed, that the babies are born, is the time for Maisir. Since we're saying now that Reb Meir says, and now we're saying, according to our second answer in the Gemara, that Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon agree, that the animals become pregnant mostly in Adar, so then from Adar to Av is 5 months, so the sheep and the goats, at least, are giving birth mostly during Av, so therefore, as soon as possible, after that, Rosh Chodesh Elul is the Rosh Hashanah for Maisa Behema. Actually, Tosfos points out, as far as Maisa Dogon, it's really not so clear. We're going to talk about that point later on in the Gemara on Daf Yud Beis, the fact that Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh Hashanah for Maisa. But the truth is, Tosfos says we don't really have such a clear source for it in the Gemara. So Tosfos says maybe because it is, since the same pasuk Aser to Aser continues that you have to take Maisa, Shana, year by year, then we'd learn a Gzeira Shava from the word from Tishrei where it says Mereshis Hashanah. So that's one reason. Another reason, Tosfos says, is because since we only became Chayev and Meiser, once Rashi explains elsewhere in Ksubas that the Chiyuv of Meiser only kicked in only when they started counting Shmittis. Well, since Shmittis begin on Rosh Hashanah, as we're going to start talking about on Omer Beis, therefore, so does the year for Meiser. Anyway, so the mayor says, therefore, so the comparison is that just like Maisa Dogon is Samuch L'Gomrei Isurei, that as soon as possible after it's finished is when the time for Maisa is. So since it gets finished and is ready for taking in from the fields in Elul time, and we said yesterday some people even start taking it in Elul time, very few people, although most people take it in Tishrei, therefore, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, is the Rosh Hashanah for Maisa. So af ma'isa behema, samach l'gomer yisurei. So ma'isa behema has to be the same kind of thing. If the animals are mostly born during Av, then you have to have that ma'isa for them should be Rosh Chodesh Elul. But Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon Sabri makish ma'isa behema l'ma'isa jogon. Whereas Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon say, sure, we agree that there's a hekish between ma'isa behema and ma'isa jogon, but the comparison is ma ma'isa jogon Rosh Hashanah shalei tishrei, just like with ma'isa of grain and other kinds of produce, the Rosh Hashanah is tishrei, af ma'isa behema Rosh Hashanah shalei tishrei. So the same thing with ma'isa behema, it's tishrei. The animals are mostly born during Av, unlike the crops begin being brought in Elul Tishrei time. Doesn't matter. Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon say. Nevertheless, the Torah is telling us that through this hekesh that both of them are Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So again, like I said before, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon on a number of grounds. Some of the Farshim say because they were roiv against Rabbi Meir. Others say because the Mishnah and Bechoris implies that the halacha is like them. It talks about various times that are called a gurdon, when you have a certain time during the year when the Chachamim said that after that time don't sell or shecht any of your newborn animals until you take ma'isa from them. Even though Daraisa you would be allowed to. And one of those grunas, it says over there, you have a few different opinions there, when the grunas are, one of them, Rabbi Akiva, says that one of them is on Erev Rosh Hashanah. If the gurdon is Erev Rosh Hashanah, that implies that the time for taking ma'isa is Rosh Hashanah itself, or actually Erev Rosh Hashanah, because you can't take ma'isa on Rosh Hashanah. But fine, the point is, in other words, that we see, like they're saying, that the cutoff point is Rosh Hashanah. There are some Rishonim who learn differently. They argue, for one thing, that since we have a Stam Mishnah over here, like Rav Meir, maybe the Halacha should be like Rav Meir, and maybe the Meiri points out when the Gurdon is not necessarily tied to when Ma'isa Behema is. After all, the other two Gurdons during the year are not specifically tied to the year of Ma'isa Behema. It's more that the Chachamim wanted that there should be many animals available for people to bring Karbanos. So it's Hilchos El Mashiach, basically, because we don't take Ma'isa Behema nowadays. We're going to learn later on in our Masechta that Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai made a number of takonis in the years after the Churban, and one of them is that we don't take Ma'isa Behema anymore because there's too much possibility of takala. You may end up using the animal when you're not supposed to. So when Mashiach comes, you can take Ma'isa Behema again, then it'll be, then we'll see who the halacha is like. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Be'echad b'tishrei Rosh Hashanah l'shanim. We said the first of Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for the years. So, my hilchsa, regarding what? What do we mean that it's the Rosh Hashanah for the years? As far as what do we? So we have the same thing as at the beginning of the Masechta when we had l'may hilchsa. It could mean what's the nafkamina from it. But Rashi explained that it's not so much what's the nafkamina. It's obvious the nafkamina is you need to know how to date things. But rather, Rashi had used the expression over there. Why was a certain day set aside? Why don't we just say, for example, we said it's Rosh Hashanah Malachim, Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Why don't we just say that every king would just start his year from when he ascended the throne? And the answer was because we need to know what Shtaris are Mukhtam and Ma'ukhar. So here, you'd have the same kind of thing. Do we mean, why do we need to know when Rosh Hashanah Lashanim is? Or is it, why is there a defined date? So I'm going to pop the shtaris. So the Papa says same thing as we had by Rosh Hashanah l'malachim. The reason is because of shtaris. Vitznan, namely, we learn in a Mishnah. We said over there, shtaris chayv ha'mukdamin psulin, predated shtaris are fossil, v'amukharin ksherin, and postdated ones are kosher. So we had the whole discussion there on Bezim and Aleph, that the reason why predated shtaris are fossil is because then you're creating a shibud on property that the guy owned at the time when the shtar is dated, but which in fact he didn't own at the time. He had already sold it by that time. So let's say he took out the loan in, Rashi gave the example over there. Let's say he took out the loan in Tammuz and he had previously sold property in Kislev. So that property is not under a shibud. So now if the shtar is predated to Kislev, and the point is, the fact that we have a known time when the year begins means that we know, for example, that Kislev of the third year is going to be before Tammuz of the third year, that it means we're trying to put a shibud on property that he owned in Kislev and sold between then and Tammuz, and that's no good. Those lakuchos, those buyers, are not subject to any shibud because they bought the property before he took out the loan. So therefore, such a shtar is possible. We said over there, Rashi learns that such a shtar is possible to collect from Mishabadim. It would still be a valid shtar to collect the actual debt from the property that the Loiva still owns. Tosfos disagrees and says it's completely possible. Anyway, Ramu Chorin, and then we said a post day that Shtar is kosher, because the other way around, if he took out the loan in Tammuz, and he puts on the Shtar, Kislev of the following year, let's say he took out the loan in Tammuz of the third year, puts and the Shtar is dated Kislev of the fourth year, no problem. What it means is then that just the opposite. It means it's better for the Lokochus. It means anybody who bought property from him between Tammuz and Kislev is not going to be is not going to be on the hook for this set. For this loan, even though they should be, so you're not doing anything to damage to inappropriately damage the lakuchas. Therefore, the shtar is kosher. Although we talked about there that there's a little bit more detail in it. You have to write in the shtar, or at least it has to be implied that you're also including property that you buy in the future. Otherwise it still doesn't work. Because otherwise, why is the guy who bought property from him in Kislev on the hook if he didn't own it? If he didn't own it at the time. Anyway, the point is that. Let me rephrase that. What if the Loiva bought property after Tammuz, sold it to somebody before Kislev? That's the point. So then we would, based on the shtar, we would say it's under a shibud. But if it doesn't say de'ikni, if he doesn't say that I'm including property that I will buy in the future, then it shouldn't be under that shibud. Fine. So there can be cases where shtar mu'ukhar is also no good. But other things being equal, a shtar mukdam is always going to be possible. A shtar mu'ukhar can sometimes be kosher. By the way, it talks about with a prusbul the other way around. This year is Shemitah, so we ought to talk about prusbul. With a prusbul, where you write a prusbul at the end of Shemitah, giving based in the authority to collect your debts for you. We have the minhag of also declaring it before Shemitah, because there's opinions that you're not allowed to start demanding the repayment of the loan even from the beginning of Shemitah. Anyway, there it's the other way around. If the prusbul is predated, then it's fine, because then it means you're not including it at some later debts. But fine, you don't want to do those, you want to be medical those, go ahead. But if you post-date it, then it's no good, because then you're including loans that you lent after the prusbul was written, but before the date on it, and therefore it's no good. In fact, there was actually a tshuva of the Rambam where they asked him about that his definition of muktam and mu'ukhar by prusbul seems to be the other way around. And the Rambam said, you have to look in corrected copies of Yad HaChazaka, and there you'll see it correctly. That's another one. Some people mixed it up based on our thing over here about Shtari Chavis, and when they copied out, this is 300 years before printing, then they got things backwards, but take a look in accurate copies of my Sefer that Amman says, and you'll see that that's the way it's supposed to be. Anyway, so that's why we need a Rosh Hashanah for Shonim, and that's why we're saying that Rosh Hashanah has to be on a defined date, namely we're saying Aleph Tishrei. So, the Gemara asks, we said earlier in the Mishnah that Rosh Chodesh Nissan is the Rosh Hashanah for kings. And we asked the same question, regarding what? And Rav Chista also said as far as Shtaris. So what is it? Is it that Rosh Chodesh Nissan is the cutoff point from one year to the next for Shtaris, or Rosh Chodesh Tishrei? The answer is like Kasha, Kanam. Depends whether we're talking about according to for Jewish kings or for non-Jewish kings. As we said before, we said that the whole concept of using Rosh Chodesh Nissan as a cutoff point is only for Jewish kings. Their years begin Rosh Chodesh Nissan. We said Goyish kings begin Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, unless we said we had a rare exception like Dayovish, who was a Melech Kosher, so they counted as if he was a Jewish king. But here we're talking about Malchei Umas Olam. So the question is, Elohod Amr Rav Chista Leshonim Aval Malchei Yisrael. So then let's look at, we have in the Gemara over there where Rav Chista informed us of that point, that Leshonim Aval Malchei Yisrael, that when it says that Rosh Chodesh Nissan is the Rosh Hashanah for Malachim means only Jewish kings, Aval Malchei Yisrael, the Tishrei Maninan, but for Goyish kings we count from Tishrei. So what? Is Rav Chista coming to tell us something that it says pretty much explicitly in a Mishnah? Obviously not. We know everybody, all the Amoraim are expected to be familiar with the Mishnahs. And Amora is not just going to say, just not just going to repeat something over that it says in a Mishnah. So there has to be some chiddush of what Rav Chista is saying over and above what's in the Mishnah. So what is it? And the answer is no. You're right. Rav Chista is not coming to tell us that. Rav Chista kroy osel ashmenim. Rav Chista just wants to inform us what are the psukim that we learn that from. In other words, Rav Chista is saying this, that the years of Goyish kings begin from Tishrei. We know that from the Mishnah. We know that from the implication of our Mishnah when it says lashonim means years of Goyish kings. Rav Chista wants you to know, where do we see that in Psukim? And he brings the Psukim from Nehemiah that we had on Daf Gimel, where we see that point, where we see that the beginning of Nehemiah's story takes place in Kislev, and the continuation of it takes place in Nisan, and the year hadn't turned over, it's all in the 20th year, and therefore we see the year didn't begin in Nisan. So Rav Chista is not coming to repeat what the Mishnah is saying. Rav Chista just wants to tell us the Psukim that we learn that from. In other words, when Rav Chista is telling us, he's not coming to tell us the actual din. He's coming to tell us, and how do we know this, that the Mishnah is implying that it's the Tishrei, from those psukim. Okay, so that's one answer. Another possibility is that Rav Chista is learning the Mishnah like Rav Zeira. Did Rav Zeira amar l'tkufa? Namely, Rav Zeira says that when our Mishnah says Lashonim, doesn't mean as far as years of kings at all. So that it's true that Rav Chista tells us the din, that Goyish kings we count from Tishrei, but according to this way of looking at it, according to Rav Zeira's way of looking at it, and Rav Chista, now we're saying, the Mishnah is not addressing at all how we count the years of Goyish kings. Because we're not interested in things involving Goyish kings. The Mishnah wants to focus on things that are relevant for us Jews. So the fact that as Rashi had said at the beginning of the Masechta, we date documents according to Goyish king's years, but Rav Zeira figures that's not something important enough to mention in the Mishnah. So therefore, Rav Zeira understands, what do we mean when we say we count the years from Rosh Hashanah, means as far as the Tkufas, meaning that we count when we say that when we calculate when the Tkufa is, which is relevant, for example, as far as Birkas HaChama, and when we count everything involving the calendar, we're counting them from the Molad of Tishrei and not of Nisan. Namely, that would be like Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the world was created in Tishrei. We're going to have later on Daf Yud Aleph, we're going to have a long discussion about that. Was the world created in Nisan or in Tishrei? Rabbi Yeshua says Nisan, Rabbi Eliezer says Tishrei. And by the way, what we mean by the world created really means Adam and Chava were created. Because either way, the Ma'ase Bereishis began 5 days earlier. So Chof Hei Adar or Chof Hei Elul, respectively. So Rabbi Yezer says the Tishrei Nivra Olam. So Rabbi Zeira says our Mishnah follows that opinion when it says Lashonim, means that we're counting the Tkufas. We calculate when the first Tkufa was of Rosh Chodesh Tishrei of the year of Ma'aseh Bereishis, and we go from there. Tosfos gets into a long discussion over here about this, about how indeed we calculate the Tkufas. When you calculate, the Rambam gives the calculations in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh and Perek Tes. Now, you actually have two different ways of calculating the Tkufa. They're called Shmuel's and Rav Adah's. Nowadays, they're about 11 days apart because Shmuel's year is a little bit longer. Shmuel's understanding of how the year is a little bit longer than Rav Adah's by about 5 or 6 minutes each year. So therefore, over time, that adds up. So anyway, according to Shmuel's Tkufa, what we say is then that the first Tkufa of the year of Bris Olam was 7 days and 9 hours and 642 halakim before the Molad of Nisan, that amount of time. And Tosfos discusses why that should be, because once Hashem told the moon off for saying Yefshel Shnei Malachim Sheishtam Shabakeser Echad, so like the moon was embarrassed and hid itself for that amount of time, and therefore the Tkufa took place that amount of time before the Molad. Tosfos ends up asking, though, how do you b'chlal have a machlokas when to count the tkufas from the difference between the molad of Nisan and the molad of Tishrei? So, in other words, it would come out. Tosfos is explaining that if we said that we count the tkufas from Tishrei, as we're saying in our Gemara over here, then it would mean you'd make that calculation relative to Rosh Hashanah, relative to the molad of Tishrei, which the molad of Tishrei of the year of Ma'aseh Bereishis was on Friday 14 hours. It's called molad v'yad. So we count our years actually from a year before that. We count from 1 year before that, where according to Rabbi Yeshua, half that year didn't exist, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, only 5 days of it existed, but that's why we counted, because Yemech HaBashanah, Chosh HaShanah, and the Molad of that year was Monday, 5 hours, would have been Monday, 5 hours, 204 Halakim, which was why we call it Molad Baharad. What we're saying over here, as far as the Tkufas, we count from Nisan, so the implication is that this whole business of subtracting X amount from the Tkufa would go based, would go relative to the Chodesh Tishrei. Tosfos says the Moilad of Nisan and the Moilad of Tishrei are over 2 days apart. How is it possible to make a mistake like that? One way or the other, you're going to have. Either you look at the, when is the Moilad and when is the Tkufa. It's easy enough to tell. 2 days is a substantial enough difference that you're going to be able to tell. How is there B'chol HaMachlokes about that? So Mefarshim talk about various ways that it could be reconciled. One of them is actually that there is actually a medrash that says that before the Chet Tadas, the various heavenly bodies moved faster than they do now. So therefore, you could actually have that, even though it's only two different days of the week, the Moilad of Tish of Nisan that year, as calculated, would have been on Wednesday, and the Moilad of Tishrei would have been on Friday. Nevertheless, though, they could have moved fast enough to make up all of that difference, even though it was only 2 days. And there's different other answers as well that that calculate that you can bring down the amount of difference between them based on various considerations involving how long the moon is invisible for, and therefore you can make it work out. Anyway, so the point is, going back to the Gemara, then we're saying that you calculate the Tkufas based on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So on Mishnah, when it says Rosh Hashanah Lashonim, would be according to Rabbi Eliezer's view. Since he says the Tishrei Nivra Olam, then it follows that also you calculate the Tkufas from then. A Nafkamina of that, by the way, would be, later on, we're going to talk about in the Gemara, who we actually follow, Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Yeshua. There is the possibility that maybe it means according to Rabbi Eliezer, when we do Birkas HaChama every 28 years, maybe we should really be doing it in Tishrei, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Because according to him, the Tishrei Nivra Olam, so therefore after 28 years is when the sun is back in the position when it was Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Okay. Anyway. So that's another explanation, therefore, so we can say that our Mishnah, when it says Rosh Hashanah Lashonim, doesn't mean as far as years of Goyish kings, it means as far as when we calculate the Tkufas from. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar L'Din. Then there's a third explanation. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that the relevance of Rosh Hashanah being the beginning of the year is as far as the Din. That's when Hashem judges the world. That's when Hashem judges the world, and when Hashem judges in every individual and judges what's going to happen to them throughout, what's going to happen with them throughout the coming year from Tishrei to Tishrei. Because the pasuk says Hashem looks at especially at Eretz Yisrael, but from that to the rest of the world, from the beginning of the year until the end of the year, which means Meireishis Hashana needed Ma'yehavas Sofer. From the beginning of the year, Hashem is determining what's going to happen at the end of the year. In fact, the word Meireishis in that pasuk is written without the aleph, and the Baal HaTorah points out over there that the word Meireishis is the same letters as Mitishrei. So it hints at the point that this judgment takes place on Tishrei. Which, by the way, the Pnei Yeshua points out, so why do we have to say that Rav Chista goes like Rav Zera, and that it's Latkufa? Why can't we just say that Rav Chista holds like Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that it means that Lashonim means as far as Din? And he explains, because later on Daf Chesayin, we're going to have a whole discussion, when does Hashem judge people? Is it every Rosh Hashanah? Is it every day? Is it every moment? And Rav Chista holds over there, according to an opinion, that Hashem judges a person, Adam Nidin B'chol Yom, a person is judged every day. So according to Rav Chista, in a certain sense, there's nothing special about Rosh Hashanah as far as Din. So therefore, he can't explain our Mishnah that way, therefore he's forced to explain it if we don't want to say that he's explaining it for Malachim, then the only possibility is that he's saying as far as Tkufas. Okay, so the Gemara says, Mimayde Tishrehu, when we say that Hashem judges everybody, Meireishis Hashanah Vad Achris Shana, how do we know that the Reishis Hashanah for that purpose is Tishrei? Dichtiv, because you have a pasuk in Tehillim, Tikul B'Chodesh Shofar, blow the shofar in the month, meaning on the Rosh Chodesh, the keseh l'yom chagenu, on the keseh of our Yom Tov. So the simple meaning of keseh means like the appointed time. But the Gemara's understanding, the keseh meloshen kisui, covering up. And in fact, there is one other place in Tanakh where it uses this word hakeseh, meaning an appointed time, and there it's spelt with an aleph. So here the fact that instead it's spelt with a hey causes to darshin that it means hidden, a zehu chag shachodesh mistasaboy, which Yom Tov is the moon hidden on, heviem is a Rosh Hashanah. That would be Rosh Hashanah, which takes place at the beginning of the month. Because all the other Yom Tovim take place well into the month. Most of them take place in the middle of the month. Rashi explains that shachodesh mistasaboy means not just that the molad takes place, but that the fact is, even if Rosh Hashanah takes place a day or two after the Molad, the fact is you have that in the morning, people who are in the who are further west of Eretz Yisrael are not going to be seeing it. In the evening, people on the east are not going to be seeing it because it sets, at the beginning of the month, it sets very close to sunset, and it's small and not easily noticeable. We're going to talk about that point later on Daf Chof of our Masechta. We're going to talk about it at greater length, this point, about different people in different areas seeing the moon earlier or later, closer or further away from the Molad, but there is a certain amount of time on either side of the Molad when the moon is hidden, at least for some people. So therefore, so we can call it Rakesel Yem Chagenu. Tosfos brings several other explanations. One of them is that, first of all, we said, again, Kesa can mean the appointed time. So it means the Yom Tov that's on the appointed time of Rosh Chodesh, which no other Yom Tov is. Another point is also, Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Meshulam, that it means that Rabbeinu Meshulam wanted to say, given that Rosh Hashanah is also Rosh Chodesh, and now usually you have a korban of Rosh Chodesh that you bring on Rosh Hashanah. Maybe Shah Chodesh Meskaseh, but it means you don't bring the Chathas of Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. But Rabbi Natan disproves him on that and says that in fact you do. What it is rather that you don't mention the Mustaf of Rosh Chodesh in davening. Usually in Mustaf we mention the Korbanos of that day, but when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we don't mention explicitly the Korbanos of Rosh Chodesh. However, Tosfos goes on to say that Rabbi Natan said we should. Fine, we don't go into them in detail. But we at least mention milavad ola sachodesh minchasa. We mention aside from the ola and the mincha of Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, in a certain sense, we're mentioning Rosh Chodesh in we're mentioning the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh. We're just not going into detail in them. And then he also would say, and so we have that in our machzorim and our sidurim. And also, Rabbi Natan said for the same reason when we say minchasa and eskeim kimeduba on Rosh Hashanah, you have to say shnei seirim lechaper because you have the sur of Rosh Chodesh and the sur of Rosh Hashanah. So ultimately, you are mentioning it, but you're not mentioning it as openly as you would, as you do the other korbanos. So that's another meaning of Shah Chodesh Miskatabai. Anyway, going back to the Gemara, Heve Omer Zer Rosh Hashanah. You have to say that means Rosh Hashanah. Uchtiv. Now the next pasuk continues, Ki Choyk Yisrael Hu. It is a law for Yisrael, Mishpat Leke Yaakov, a judgment for the God of Yaakov. So therefore, so we see that it's a time when Hashem is judging people, Mishpat Leke Yaakov. So therefore, we see that when it says Mireishis Hashanah Adachos Shana means from Tishrei. So therefore, so again, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says. So we have the first answer was that in our Mishnah, when it says Hashanah Lashanim means the years of Goyish kings. The second one is it means for Tikkuris, and the third one is that it means that it's the Rosh Hashanah of when Hashem judges everybody. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. We learned in a Braisa more on that topic. When the pasuk says ki choyk liyisrael hu mishpat leke yaakov, melamed, this teaches us she'ein based in shamayla nichnas in ledin, the based in shamayla does not convene to judge elam kin kidshu based in shamata as a chodesh unless the based in shamata has been makadish the chodesh. In other words, so when ki choyk liyisrael hu, then mishpat leke yaakov. But suppose that the based in on earth decides for whatever reason that Rosh Hashanah has to be a day later, as we have sometimes. Where they have to make Elul Ma'uber, then the Beis Din Shamayla will also postpone their sitting by a day. Because they go according to how it is in the Beis Din on earth. B'chla, we find that in other contexts as well, where it says that the Beis Din Shamayla follows and the Eved Shem makes that things happen in the natural world according to the way Beis Din Shamata decides things. Because they decide when the dates are and Hashem follows accordingly in how he does things in the world. Okay. Tanya Idach, we learn in another Braisa. Ki choyk liYisrael hu, when it says it's a law for Yisrael, ein li ela liYisrael. So from that you would only know that on Rosh Hashanah Hashem judges the Jewish people. L'umas ha'olam minayin, how do we know that on that date Hashem is judging the Goyish nations as well? Tamad lema mishpat leke Yaakov. Therefore the pasuk continues, the judgment for the God of Yaakov. Hashem rules over, Hashem is the king over the whole world. So implying that he judges everybody. Im kein ma tamad lema ki choyk liYisrael. So why do we start by mentioning that it's a law for Yisrael? Melamed Yisrael, Nachnasin Tchilu Ladin. That teaches us that when Hashem is judging, He first judges the Jewish people. First enter and are judged, and only after them everybody else. Why? Because of Rav Chista. The reason is based on what Rav Chista says. The Amr Rav Chista. We're going to have this later on. In our parak as well. The Amr Rav Chista. Melech v'tzibur. If the king and the tzibur are both having to be judged by Hashem. Melech nichnas tchilo ledin, then the king is the first one who goes in to be judged. So the same thing, in other words, the Jewish people, relative to the other nations, are like a king to subjects. So, shenema, mishpat avdayu mishpat amai. As the pasuk says, that Hashem should judge the judgment of his eved, of his servant, meaning the king, and the judgment, and this is Shoyma speaking, so he's speaking about himself, the king, and the judgment of his people. So the Gemara says, my timer, why should that be? Why do we judge the king first? Two reasons. One reason is because not derech eretz for the king to be waiting outside while everybody else is judged. You judge him and then and you dispose of his case and then you go on to everybody else. Another reason, you want that the king should be judged before everybody else, before Hashem's anger is provoked a great deal. In other words, what's going to happen? Hashem starts going through the averus of the tzibur and there may unfortunately be a lot of them. And then when Hashem comes to judge the king, and he has his own personal avarice as well, so things are going to boil over and the king is going to be treated much more harshly. Whereas when the king is judged first, then they're like this, he's judged when, so to speak, things are still calm. And the shame the Shmuel asked on that, I mean, what are we talking about? Hashem is going to be unfair. You're talking about like a human being, Chas v'Shalom, that, you know, he's already angry and therefore he takes it out on somebody else. So he says, no, what it means is, in other words, because after all, the king has a responsibility, he's supposed to be mechiach the tzibur. So therefore, so if we judge the tzibur first, and then we're judging the king, and we're saying, you know what, you fell down on the job, you didn't do your job telling them teichacha and telling them to do the right thing, so that's going to make Hashem even angrier at him that you have the averus of the tzibur, which he could have prevented, plus his own personal averus. Whereas when the king is judged first, and then Hashem is moichel his averus, so then after that, when Hashem judges the people and finds out the averus he did, he's not going to bring back the averus of the king and rejudge him for them. So therefore the king is going to be punished for whatever averus he himself did, but he's not going to also have on his head all the averus of the tzibur. So it's the same thing, in other words, we're saying between the Jewish people and the nations and the other nations that the Jewish people are judged first, and that's why it says Choik Yisrael Hu, but afterwards Mishpat Levakeyak, because afterwards Hashem judges everybody else. Okay. We said in the Mishnah of Alashmitin, we said that Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is also the Rosh Hashanah for Shmitas. So Menalon, where do we know that from? The pasuk says in the seventh year there should be a Shabbos of resting for the land. So when does that begin? We learn Gzeira Shava on the word Shana from Tishrei. Because we just had the pasuk before that we quoted that says that Hashem judges the world. So Reishis Hashana means Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, so we learn from that by Gzeira Shava that also Shmit that begins Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara asks the Ligmar Shana Shana Minisin. Why don't we instead learn Gzeira Shava on the word Shana from Nisin? Because it says that Nisin is the first of the months of the year. And the answer is, like we had before, we had the same kind of logic the other way around on the previous daf, that Donin Shana She'enim Achadoshim, Mishana She'enim Achadoshim. When we have the word Shana Hashvius, where it mentions Shana, it doesn't mention month, we would prefer to learn a Shana which doesn't have the word Chadoshim mentioned in connection with it, Mishana She'enim Achadoshim, from another one that also doesn't mention the word Chadoshim. In Donin, Shana She'enim Achadoshim, Mishana She'eshim Achadoshim, rather than the other way around. By Nisan, it says, Achodesh Azalachem, Rosh Chadoshim. And then it says, Chodesh Hashana. So when it came to, we said that we learn that the fiscal year of the Beis Hamikdash begins, we learned on Daf Zayin, that the fiscal year of the Beis Hamikdash begins Rosh Chodesh Nisan. There we actually did the other way around. There we had a word L'chod Shei Hashana, Zos Olas Chodesh B'chod Shei L'chod Shei Hashana. So there we're going to learn Gzeira Shava from Nisan, where it also says L'chod Shei Hashana. Here it's the other way around, where we have only Shana, then we're going to learn from another place where it says only Shana. So therefore, since by there it says only Shana and Mereshus Hashana, and we said that means Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, so therefore also by Shmita, when we're saying that there's a Shana, that there's a year, Shana Ashvias, then it's going to mean beginning from Tishrei. Okay. Next we said Vela Yovlos. Next we said that Yovel also begins on Aleph Tishrei. So the question is, you're telling me Yovel begins on now we have to remember there's a few things of Yovel. On Yovel, you're not allowed to work the fields, just like Shmita. Also, on Yovel is when Avodim and Ivri and Omer Ivriya are free and they go home, even if they haven't worked 6 years, and even an Eved Ivri who had an ear pierced, they all go home Yovel, and fields go back to their owners. So the Gemara is saying, what do you mean that all of that begins on Rosh Hashanah? Yovel is for Yud B'Tishrei Hu. That takes place on Yud Tishrei, on Yom Kippur. Yichdi B'Yom HaKippurim Tavir Shofar B'Chol Arzachem. Well, the Pasuk says, on Yom Kippur, you should blow a shofar. On B'Yom HaKippurim Tavir Shofar. And Yom Kippur, you should blow a shofar, and that's when everything takes place. Tosfos points out that we had before, at the bottom of Zayin Amud Beis, in the beginning of Ches Amud Aleph, why our Mishnah lists only four Rosh Hashanim, why it skips certain other ones, for example, Tesayin Nissen, which is the Rosh Hashanah La'omer, and Vav Sivan, which is the Rosh Hashanah for the Shtei Alechem. One of the answers was, Rav Ashi had said that the Mishnah is telling us that you have four Rosh Hashanahs that come out on Rosh Chodesh. So now the question is on him. It's not on Rosh Hashanah, it's on Yom Kippur. Because you have one of the other answers over there was Rav Chista had said that we're listing the months in which the Rosh Hashanah are. So fine, we mentioned Rosh Hashanah, and therefore that includes Yom Kippur as well, because the beginning of the month encapsulates the whole month. But according to Rav Ashi, that we're dafka focusing on one where the Rosh Hashanah is, on Rosh Chodesh. This one's not on Rosh Chodesh, it's on Yud. The answer is Hamani Rav Shmuel b'Rosh Rav Yechin b'Brotei. The answer is that our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Shmuel, the notion of Yechim and Broker. The Tanya. Namely, we learned a Braisa. When the Pasuk says, V'kidashtem eshnasa chamishim shana, you should make the 50th year holy. Ma tamad loymar. Now, why does it need to mention that point? It already says that you count 49 years and the next year is Yovel. So automatically we know that the 50th year is Yovel. Why does it have to say eshnasa chamishim shana? So the fish and Yom Kippurim, since it says that you blow shofar on Yom Kippur, Yochol Loitem is Kadesh as Elim Yom Kippurim Ba'elach. You would think that it's only holy from Yom Kippur. You would think from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur of that year is nothing special. No, Tamad Lamed Kidashim as Shasa Chamishim. Therefore, the pasuk says you should make the 50th year holy. Melamed Shem is Kadesh as Vahilechas Mikhilasa. So from this you learn that the beginning of the Kedusha of the year begins already Rosh Hashanah. Mikan Amr Bishmal Bunai, and this is so Mikan Amr Bishmal Bunai Shabbat Yechim Mabreka, Mirash Hashanah, Adyema Kippurim, Loi Hoyo Avodim Iftonim Lavatayim, the Avodim would not go home yet, beginning from Rosh Hashanah, because we first need that the shofar is blown, and only then do they go free, and the shofar is only going to be blown for this purpose on Yovel. The Loi Bishtabdin Ladinehem, they don't work for their masters anymore, because once Rosh Hashanah comes, it's already the year of Yovel, and they're supposed to be free. Ela Oichlin Vashoisin Usmechin, so during those 10 days, they're free to do whatever they want, just not to go home. They eat and drink and are happy. Vatrisehen Barashehen, and they have their crowns or their wreaths on their heads, which doesn't necessarily mean that they do. It means, in other words, that Rashi says, if they want to put a wreath on to celebrate, then they can do that, because Zuntahate. Whereas up until now, as an Eved, they really couldn't do that. There is a different explanation that Atrisehen Barashehen means, like this, you have, we make a bracha every day, Otu Yisrael B'Sifara. And what are we making the bracha on? That a person wears a sudr, a turban or a hat or something to cover their head, which is a glory for the Jewish people. Therefore, we say the bracha Otu Yisrael B'Sifara. A slave, an Eved Ivri, is not supposed to be wearing that. He's not supposed to be acting like a Ben Chorin. He's supposed to be acting like an Eved. Now, Rosh Hashanah, they can start putting on the sudr again and making the bracha, and that's what we mean after Sehen B'Rashay. Anyway, so they do that. Kivin Shigia Yom Kippurim, once Yom Kippur comes, Toku based in the shofar, based in blows the shofar, Niftu Avodim Lavatehen, at that point the Avodim are free to actually return home, the Sodis, Choizos Lavalein, and at that point the fields actually go back to their owners. So we see, in other words, that according to Rabbi Shmuel, but Rosh Rabbi Yechim and Breka, the Kedusha of Yovel actually really begins to a certain extent from Rosh Hashanah. In fact, for example, Minchas Chinuch points out an interesting thing. We know that an Eved Ivri is allowed to marry a Shifcha Pnanis. His master is allowed to give him a Shifcha Pnanis to be with, and that they're going to have children that will become more Avodim. He says, evidently, based on this Gemara, beginning from Rosh Hashanah, you can't do that anymore, because beginning from Rosh Hashanah, to a certain extent, he's already a Ben Chorin. Okay. So therefore, our Mishnah when it says that Rosh Hashanah, that Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'Yoyblus, means according to Rabbi Shmuel, but no Shira Beichan and Breika, whereas according to the Chacham, it only begins Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, V'Rabbanan, what do the Rabbanan answer to that? How do they understand that pasuk? Yikdashim Eshnas HaMish Mishana? They say it means Shonim Atam Akadish, V'I Atam Akadish Chadoshim. They say what the pasuk is implying is there's a mitzvah to declare the 50th year holy. Based in is obligated to say, this year is Mekudesh as a Yovel. But the Iyat Makadish Chadoshim, you're not required to do that with Chadoshim. Now, we're going to have a four-way machloikus later on in our Masechta about Kiddush HaChodesh. Is Beis Din actually required to say Mekudesh HaChodesh? We're going to have an opinion that says by Chodesh Chosir, yes, by Chodesh Malay, no. Another opinion the other way around. Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon holds that either way, Beis Din is never obligated to say Mekudesh HaChodesh. So he's learning from this pasuk that it says b'kidashim es shnasa chamishim shana, implying only the 50th year do you have to be mekadesh, but not the individual months. Next, another brayza continues the Gemara. Tanya idach. Now we have another brayza. The pasuk says yovel he. The pasuk says over there it is yovel. So matam leima. What does it come to teach us? And we already know the 50th year is yovel. So the fish and nem of kidashim es shnasa chamishim. Since we had the previous pasuk that says that you should make the 50th year holy. So you would think maybe the same thing as at the beginning, it begins only on Yom Kippur, according to the Chachamim, that is. Maybe the same thing at the end. Maybe, in other words, the year of Yovel, the year when you're not allowed to work the fields, runs from Yom Kippur of the Yovel year until Yom Kippur of the year after Yovel. So extend 10 days into the next year. And you don't think that that's so strange that the next year, why are you still calling it Yovel? Shari Mesifin Mechol HaKodesh. After all, we know that there's a concept of adding from the Chol to the Kodesh, as we're going to talk about tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. So no, Talmud Lomer, Yovel Hi, Shnasa Chamishim, therefore the Pasuk is saying, it is Yovel, which is a Mir, meaning only the 50th year, Shnasa Chamishim, Achim HaKadesh, V'yat HaKadesh, Shnasa Chamishim V'achas. So you're only making the 50th year Yovel, not any part of the 51st year. So in other words, according to the Chachamim, who disagree with Rabbi Shmuel, they say the Yovel year and the dinim of Yovel begin Yom Kippur, not Rosh Hashanah, and they extend until Rosh Hashanah. So the dinim of Yovel lasts for a year minus 10 days. So the Gemara says Rabbanon. Now, what about according to the Rabbanon, who we said we don't learn from the Kiddashtem? So the vote is rather like this. Sorry, this Braisa was according to Rabbi Shmuel, but no Shira Beichan Mebreika. Given that it's Mekudesh from the beginning, from Rosh Hashanah, so maybe it extends, and we said, though, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is kind of in limbo, so maybe therefore it means that the next year, maybe the Yovel lasts for a year plus 10 days, and the answer is no. Rabbi Shmuel says it lasts for only a year, exactly, from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So the Rabbanan who don't learn from the Kiddashtem that it starts Rosh Hashanah anyway, they start at Yom Kippur. So they don't hold, they don't need any pasuk to teach us that it should extend into the following year. So what do they learn from it? They say, Shnas Chamishim Atamona, V'i Atamona, Shnas Chamishim Achas. The Vav over here that's printed in the Gemara is extra. They say it means you count the 50th year, not that you count it as the 50th and the first year. Namely, the Apuki Mid Rabbi Huda. The Chachamim say that pasuk, V'kidashim, Shnas Chamishim, Yovel Hi, Shnas Chamishim, means not like Rabbi Yehuda, Dama Shnas Chamishim, Oilo Lakan O Lakan. He says that the 50th year also counts as the first year of the following Shemitah cycle. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says that you have like this, 49 years, the 49th is Shemitah, the 50th is Yovel. That 50th year, Rabbi Yehuda says, is also the first of the following Shemitah cycle. So you're going to have, after it, you're only going to have 5 regular years, and then year 56 is going to be the next Shemitah. Whereas the Chachamim disagree and say that no, the Yovel does not count as part of the Shemitah cycle. The Yovel year is the 50th year, and then year 51 is the beginning of the next Shemitah cycle. So you have 6 regular years, like you always do, and then the 57th year, rather than the 56th, is going to be Shemitah. So the Chachamim are saying that's what we learn from. In fact, it says Yovel hi shnasa chamishim shana. They say it means that consider that only the 50th year. Don't also consider it the first year of the next cycle. So Kamash Malon, that's why the Chachamim say that's what the pasuk is coming to tell us. Now it comes out that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it comes out that Rabbi Yehuda versus the Chachamim, it comes out that the Yovel shift over time. For example, the second Yovel cycle, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the second Yovel is going to be in year 99. According to the Chacham, it's going to be year 100. And it keeps on getting further and further apart. The Rambam says technically the halacha should be like the Chachamim, so even nowadays we should be counting Yovels every so often, not in order to observe Yovel, it only applies when most of the Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, but in order to keep the Shmittis in the proper places. However, then the Rambam goes on and brings from the Goinim, that this was recently in Perek Echad of Rambam, that the Goinim say that after the Bismithish was destroyed, we count only seven by seven. We don't count Yovelus at all, which is more like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's how we're knowing nowadays, that Shmita is just every seventh year without interruption. There is, very interestingly, a Yerushalmi that explains Rabbi Yehuda's Shita differently. We always think of that Yovel comes the year after Shmita, but the Yerushalmi explains Rabbi Yehuda's opinion as that they're not tied together. Yovel is every 50 years, but that means, in other words, that since it's also part of the Shmita cycle, therefore it comes out. So the first time around, it means that Yovel will be the first year of the Shmita cycle. The second time around, it'll be the second year, because Rabbi Yehuda will agree with the Chachamim that the Yovel is going to be in year 100, but Shmita was year 98. So therefore he's going to say that, fine, you have a break in between. You have 98 is Shmita, 99 is a regular year, 100 is Yovel. The next time around, it's going to be 2 years apart, 3 years apart, etc. It's going to circle around like that. That's how the Yerushalmi explains Rabbi Yehuda's Shmita. So according to that, we could say that we are going now like Rabbi Yehuda, because we don't count Yovels, but fine, we don't have a Yovel as long as most Jews are not living in Eretz Yisrael, and as long as the Shvatim are not living in their territories, but it wouldn't make a difference. The Shmittis are still every 7 years regardless. Okay, everyone.